Well, welcome everybody and happy new year. We're so glad that you're joining us here online with Westside Church. And we're just really looking forward to a great year together. My name's Dave Stymers and I'm the lead pastor here. If you're new with us and we haven't met, really grateful that you're starting out your year joining us today. I want to do something just a little bit different today than we normally do a normal message, but I want to take a few minutes to reflect on some of the things I've learned through 2020 and then to look ahead a little bit to 2021 and talk about us as a church, what we're all about, and how we're going to move together through this year. So I remember at this time last year, January in 2020, there was kind of a popular tagline that a lot of people were using, or some variation of a tagline that people were using, whether it was businesses or business leaders, self-help gurus, and even pastors like me putting together series to teach on and things to encourage people. And the tagline went something like this: 2020 vision for 2020. It was the idea that we're going to get really clear about our goals, or we're going to launch this project and we've got a clear vision for what it's going to look like this year. We're really focused in and we're planning well and we know what this is going to look like. Let's get our kind of goal-oriented selves together and go do these things as we really figure out what 2020 is going to be all about. And I'll tell you, that didn't really age well. Right? By March, everybody's throwing their hands up and going, well, we didn't see this coming, and we don't know what's coming next. And throughout the year, it's one of the things that we learned. We're always looking at changes and how the world is doing something different and all the things that we've all been through in 2020. In fact, I remember one day I was on a conference call with a bunch of other pastors that I regularly meet with on a call. And this was in March, and it was in the morning, first thing, and the talk was, hey, this whole coronavirus thing is coming, and if you don't already have hand sanitizer for your church, you need to go out and get some now because it's going to start selling out really, really quick, and by Sunday, you're not going to want anybody coming into your church that hasn't washed their hands and sanitized their hands, and this is going to be a really big deal. So get ready to make sure that we're all washing our hands. By dinner time of that day, it had become clear that forget the hand sanitizer at the door. Nobody's going to be meeting in church that week. And that was the start of things shutting down and closing down and everything moving so quickly. And we were all sort of just kind of dumbfounded and trying to figure out what on earth is going on and what it's going to look like. And everybody was kind of, you know, taking off their website, the 2020 vision for 2020 thing, and saying, oh, that's embarrassing now. But then we were trying to figure out what was next and what are we going to do? And I remember a couple of days later getting on a call with some of those same church leaders and one guy saying, you know, I'm hearing that we might not be back live and in church for Easter. And at that point, Easter was like 3 weeks away. But for us, this was, everybody's mind is being blown. Like, we might not be back inside of a church building in 3 weeks. This is crazy. Well, here we are, January 2021, and you know what's happened, and you know where we're at, and what's been going on. So here's the three things that I've learned through 2020 that I want to share with you, and maybe this is a great time for you to be thinking about some of the things that you've learned as well, maybe ask what God has taught you, big picture, about life and the world and your relationship with Him and other people throughout this last year, and maybe start asking, what is that going to mean for us moving forward? How do we maybe need to adjust our perspective, our actions, our behaviors as we go along? So here's three things for me. Number one, control is an elusive illusion. What a great line. I stole that line from one of our regulars in our Sunday morning live chat. So thank you, Wilma. But I love how that is put. Control is an elusive illusion. We often have believed that we have much more control than we actually do have. It is elusive. We're always trying to get more of it. We're all trying to make ourselves feel like we're in control of our lives and we know what's going to happen next and we've prepared for worst case scenarios and we've made sure that those things aren't going to happen and we can do this and then this and progress to this point in our lives. And if this year's taught us anything, it's that that is elusive. We're always trying to grab it because it's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. That we might feel like we have certain levels of control. Yeah, okay. But at the end of the day, big picture, we don't have nearly as much control as we think we do. And so we've learned things like taking the opportunity in the midst of a chaotic year to express faith that says, even when I know I don't have control, I can trust in God for what I need and for what the world needs and for life. We can exercise patience. That has been so powerful for me this year, and maybe for a lot of people, is to be thinking about how powerful it is when we don't have what we want, or we can't do what we want, or even some of the things that we think we need, to be patient. And sometimes not just for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours, but for weeks and months and maybe more. But to be patient that things don't always work themselves out right away, that there's not always a quick and easy solution to every problem. But it doesn't mean that we have to live in this spot where we're just going crazy. We can be patient and know that God is working out all things for the good of those who love him. And we can express trust in that kind of patience. Living continually in chaos is difficult, but it can be rewarding when we use it as an opportunity for faith, as an opportunity to grow some of those characteristics or the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, like being patient, like getting quiet and listening for the voice of God. Number two, second thing I've learned, caring for your soul and your body is so essential. One of the things I think we've learned as things like the pandemic have taken a lot longer than most of us thought at the beginning of it, we've learned that those small habits have become lingering routines. That the things where maybe back earlier in this year where when everything went into chaos and we dropped some of our good habits and maybe picked up some that aren't so good, you know, maybe your exercise routine was thrown off. Maybe some of your spiritual disciplines were thrown off. Maybe you weren't eating real well. Obviously, we weren't going out. We weren't seeing people in the midst of some of these lockdowns back then and also now. And we thought, well, for a short time, we'll just do this. But we've realized that the longer it goes on, those short little habits are becoming long lingering routines. And when they haven't been healthy, we've realized that they've hurt us because we've gone through the whole gamut of emotions. We've experienced despair, confusion, anxiety, worry, depression, just so much that we've got, and most of us at some point, grief, and then for long stretches of time, a lot of exhaustion. And as we've tried to work through these emotions, and maybe we always didn't always know how to work through the emotions, or we didn't even know what we were feeling, but maybe we examined some of those things to get to the bottom of it, we've realized how important it is to have healthy routines and to really take care of ourselves, both physically and spiritually. We need to invest in making sure sometimes that we're changing our pace. And one of the things that I really learned was to manage expectations of myself and of other people, of the world around us, and then to make sure that we're listening to those signs in us that are saying, hey, we need attention here. You need attention on your physical self to make sure that you're staying as healthy as you can be, you know, getting sleep and eating well and exercising. And that has such an effect on you physically and emotionally and in your mind, and also spiritually to make sure that you're not getting thrown off track. We'll talk about this a little bit more in the third one, but to make sure that we're staying in a good place where we're continually growing and we're noticing where God is speaking to us and showing up, which is so important in a world that's so tired and is getting discouraged so much. I think crises have a tendency to exacerbate our issues. And so it might be that you found that some of the issues that a year ago didn't seem huge, but you knew that they were there, have become bigger and bigger. They've been magnified because we've been put in crisis. And crisis often accelerates or highlights the things that are already in our lives, whether those are good or bad. But it has been interesting, as you see, hopefully in yourself as well, and me and myself, as we examine ourselves, some of the things in our character that are being brought to the surface through a tough time, to say, how can we pay attention to that and make sure that we're taking care of those areas of our lives? And that could be in your personal life, and characteristics. It could be in your marriage. It could be with your parenting. It could be things at work. But crisis has that tendency to really highlight and bring to the top the issues that are already there and alerts us to where we really need to take care and strategize around our health, both physically and spiritually. And then number three, and I want to spend some time on this morning. I want us to spend some time on this together. The church. The church is resilient, creative, and inevitably unstoppable. And when I say that, I don't mean a West Side church. I mean the church across the world. The people that are the body of Christ are resilient, creative, and inevitably unstoppable because this is what God is doing in the world. He's working through people to bring love and to bring peace and to bring joy and to bring hope and all the things we celebrated through Advent and the Christmas season, that God is working through his church. And there have been many times where a lot of people, church leaders like me included, where we've looked around and said, there's so many challenges, it's such a struggle. How could the church possibly survive this? But the reality is, the real question is, how could the church not survive this? How could you kill off the church? And the answer is, you can't, because God, through his Spirit, is working through his people to do incredible things. And we have seen, again, not just West Side Church and our little expression of church, but we have seen the worldwide church get creative and figure out ways to continue to share good news with people, that both through teaching, through the scriptures, and also through caring for people, through showing up in the world, through learning technology, even though it's really tough, but making sure that we're not stopped because we can't meet in big crowds in buildings. And I believe now more than ever that the church is unstoppable. That there's no challenge, there's no struggle, there's nothing that could happen in this world that will stop the powerful movement that is the church, because it's what God is doing in this world, and he has been for thousands of years, and he will continue. I was told this, my entire life I've been told this, church is not a building. I also know this, church is not a program that you watch for an hour a week. The church is not passive. The church is not a YouTube channel. The church is not a Zoom call. All of these things are tools, and they're tools that we appreciate and that we use, but none of them are the actual church. They're not what church is. It's not the definition of church. It's how we get people together, and we will use whatever tools we have that will help us to do that, but the church is people gathered. The word we read in Scripture for church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means people gathering. It's when Jesus called people to come and gather in his name to express their love from God because they realize that God loves them, and to express the love they have for God by loving other people because God is love. And that is what the church is. People coming together, united in the love of God, to love him and to love others. And this year, we are proving that even when we can't gather in large group, the mission of the church cannot be stopped. We have found ways to meet together when possible, safely in small groups, more often this year online. And we have seen some amazing things. We've seen some of our groups run food drives with Ancaster Community Services. We have seen some people in our church look for ways to serve, especially children who are in need, through Food for Kids and in indigenous communities by sewing masks and giving out masks. We have seen children's leaders dress up like superheroes and get dispatched at Halloween throughout the entire city to deliver some candy, but really more than that, to deliver some joy and some relationship to dozens of families around the city to show that people care. We have seen people, again, delivering dozens of family Christmas boxes most recently, and the response has been wonderful and beautiful. And some of you, you're watching because of that, helping people celebrate Christmas and inviting them to be part of our Christmas Eve online experience and to invite them to be part of this movement that can't be stopped, that is the church, that is the gathering of people, however and wherever and whenever that looks like, because we will do whatever we can to gather in the name of Jesus, to bask in the love of God and to share that love with people around us everywhere. And it has been beautiful. And I'll tell you this, in 2021, we are not going to stop that. We are going to continue to try to resource you and to make sure that we're helping people gather together and giving them tools to help them wherever they're at. And so we've got some great resources coming up for you. Some of those resources will help you in your marriage. Some of those resources will help you with your mental health, again, as we continue to go through some challenging times. We're going to continue to find ways to gather. And in times like this, when we're locked down, of course, online, and when it's safe to, starting with other ways, we'll look at those things. And we're going to find ways to care for people in need, to continue to reach out to our community partners and partner with them to provide, practically speaking, for people in our city that are in need. And so I need to tell you this. I need you. Because if church is the people, if church is not a building, not just a Zoom call, it's not just a YouTube channel, those are all tools. If church is the people, I need you to be actively engaged. Because we don't just go to church. We don't just watch church. We don't just listen to church. We are church. And so today I want to ask you to consider how you can be part of being church through our community. Because listen to this. Two things that are very important. You need other people, and other people need you. That's why it's going to be so important for us to gather. And in these next couple of months, few months especially, as it's going to be probably some really challenging times this winter, but you need other people. And even if you sit there and you think, I don't really need other people, I'm doing okay, or I'm kind of introverted and I'm fine off on my own, or I'm uncomfortable, getting into some of these social situations or whatever it is, you need other people. But even if you think that you don't, other people need you. Other people need you to be there for them. And the way this is going to work, the way that we're really going to be church and see God do some incredible things is when we commit to being there for each other. You need other people. You do. You need community. You need a group of people. I'll tell you in a second why. And those other people, they're going to need you. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews is a book in the Bible that's written to Christians who are going through a really tough trial, really tough time, and trying to speak into how they're going to get through that time by focusing on Christ and being together. This is from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God. You go, whoa, serious. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. There's this really powerful ingredient right there near the beginning, talking about getting through hard times, speaking into this community that was going through real trials. Encourage one another. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. I love that, because every day that we get to is called today. Today is today. When we get to tomorrow, it won't be tomorrow anymore, it'll be today. And the day after that, when we get there, will be today. So as long as it's called today, then every day, it's time to encourage one another. You need to get together and encourage one another every single day, which means all the time in a regular routine, making sure that you're encouraging one another. And you read some of this language about, being sinful and having your heart hardened and being deceived. And you kind of scratch your head and you go, man, what is it that they're talking about? Like, what is this great sin that is threatening the people that they need to be aware of? Are they murdering each other? Are they stealing from each other? Are they beating each other up? Because whatever it is so, so serious. And then they're being warned by it. Well, this goes back to the quotation and to the story that they're referring to. The quotation comes from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And the rest of those verses and that section in Psalm 95 are talking about when the people of Israel had been promised the land that God was going to give them, Canaan. And they had come up to that land and they were getting close. They'd been wandering in the desert, but now they're getting close and they could see it. And they sent a whole bunch of spies into the land. And when they came back to report, like, hey, is this something we can do? Can we get there? Most of the spies said, it looks amazing. I mean, that's where we want to go. It's just beautiful. Life there would be amazing. But there's people there who are not going to want us there. And they're big and they're strong and they're powerful. And we cannot do it. We cannot get there. I know God promised that. We think God promised that to us, but we're just not going to be able to do it. But Caleb comes back. You can read this in Numbers chapter 13 and into 14. I'll read a little bit in a minute. Caleb comes back and he goes, we got to go. This is where God's called us. Yeah, I see those people too. But God's called us to this. He's going to give it to us. Let's go. And listen to how the people respond. This is Numbers chapter 14. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? They were slaves in Egypt. And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, those are the two guys that said, we could do this, we can do this. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And the next part, if you keep reading, the people get up to these leaders who are saying, we can do this, and they want to stone them. Forget you guys, we're going back to slavery. We're going back to Egypt. We can't do this. Here's the big threat that's being warned against in Hebrews and in the Psalms and from this story. The great threat is that we stop living in faith and start living in fear. These people got tired, they got frustrated, and they got scared, and they were ready to give up because they could no longer believe that God was going to come through for them the way he had promised to come through for them. Does some of that sound familiar? Tired, frustrated, scared, anxious. It's a perennial human temptation that our hearts get hardened when we stop believing that God has good for us and God is bringing everything around to good, that we can trust him, that he's taking us somewhere good, that he's taking this world somewhere good. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in you and through you because you get discouraged. And because you get fearful, I think over the next few months, that's going to be our biggest task. Go back to that passage in Hebrews. Why is this so important? You need to encourage each other. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Why? What's this great sin? What's this great threat? That you get discouraged and fearful and that you stop believing and trusting that God has everything in his hands, that God is taking care of you. God is holding your life, not just as an individual, collectively, as a community together. This is the great threat. Don't get discouraged. So what do we need to make sure that we're doing? Coming together and encouraging each other because you need other people and because other people need you because the church is not a building or a YouTube channel or a Zoom call. The church is people creatively and fiercely finding ways to come together and love one another and love the world around us. That's our mission. That's what can't be stopped in this world. That's what God is doing. And God has not left. And God has not turned a blind eye. In fact, it's time for us to listen even closer. Right? That little quote from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, oh, to listen to God's voice. And again, that's why we come together, because sometimes we're not listening very well, or we don't think we're hearing. We don't think God is speaking to us, and we need other people, and we need to do this for other people, to whisper in our ear, God is still for you. God is still for your city. God is still for this world. God is still working even when you don't understand. God is still working when you don't think you see him. We need to hear his voice and make sure that our hearts aren't getting hard, but making sure that we can live in faith. We need to encourage each other all the time, over and over and over. What's the voice that we need to hear? You know, when I think of listening, and of course, listening means obeying. It doesn't mean just sort of arbitrary, the mechanic, biological process of hearing, but it means actually listening and obeying. And when I think about listening and obeying the voice of God, usually the first thing that comes to my mind, maybe this is true of you too, is I think of, well, there's a whole bunch of things that God wants to tell me to do and a whole bunch of things he wants to tell me not to do. And to listen and to hear God is to either do or not do those things, you know, kind of following the rules and that kind of stuff, living this sort of religious, moral life that we think God wants us to live. That's fine. But the more I think about it, the voice that we need to hear, the message that we hear, I think is way deeper than that. Because I think that just trying to be good or not good is important, but it's a surface thing. We read all throughout Scripture that really real transformation happens way deep down. And what'll help us to live out really healthy behavior in terms of our relationship with God and our relationship with other people is to allowing God to change us deep down. I wonder if the message that we need to hear from God and the message that we need to encourage each other to hear over and over and over is the message that Jesus heard from his Father when he was baptized. I wonder if this statement is actually perhaps the very platform that we start our entire spiritual lives off of and we build everything on. When Jesus was baptized, he heard the voice of his Father say, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Maybe that's the voice, that's the message that we need to make sure we're always encouraging each other with. Because Jesus masterfully continued to teach that as the Father has loved me, so I love you. That this powerful, amazing, unique relationship that Jesus has with his Father that is so wrapped up in the fact that God would say, "This is my Son whom I love. I am well pleased with him. I enjoy him. I'm wrapped up. I don't just love him. I like him and I want him and I want to be with him and I want this incredible unity in his life." That's what God is saying to Jesus, Father to Son. And Jesus says, "What I'm experiencing here, the way that God loves me, I've loved you. I'm pulling you into that. That's what you are to experience also, to hear God, our Father, say, 'This is my child whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. I enjoy so much.'" Just think about what it would be like to obey that voice. To live out of that message, to know that God loves us and God works out everything for the good of those who love him, that God's gonna provide for us and care for us. He's gonna lift us up in our difficult moments. He's gonna carry us through our trials. So encourage one another. Encourage one another. Be the ones who make sure that that voice, that message is heard over and over and over. Be the ones that spread that message, share that message with the world around us so that our hearts don't get hard in fear and in anxiety and in worry and all the natural things that happen in us during times of crisis and chaos and uncertainty. Keep encouraging each other so that you can hear this voice and live out of this voice. God has got us. Because we don't just go to church. We don't just watch church. We are church. So here's my encouragement, because whoever you are, you need other people. And even if you don't think that's true, other people need you. So we got to come together. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you very strongly to join a life group. Join a group of people that come together and we talk about Scripture. And we pray together, and we talk about our lives and our hurts and our struggles and our victories and our joys and the things that are going good. And we build relationships so that we can encourage each other, encourage each other, encourage each other. Now, some of you might have reservations about that. You say, "I'm an introvert. I don't want to have to talk a whole lot." That's okay. We won't make you. Some of you might say, "I'm not comfortable praying out loud." No problem. We won't force you to do that. You might say, "I can't make it every week. I got a busy schedule, or I get Zoom fatigue if we're online, all that kind of stuff." That's fine. We'll we'll try and keep up with you, even if you can't get there every week. Get on that call or whatever it is every week. But listen, don't let those excuses keep you from being in a community, because our job, especially over these next few months, I believe, is going to be to continue to encourage one another daily so that we don't live in fear, but that we continue to live in faith and trust and love and community. I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be an encourager as well. And in these groups, we're going to have opportunities to meet together, like I said, to catch up and to share the things that are happening in your life, good or not so good. We're going to have opportunities to find ways to continue to partner with our community partners who are doing great work, like Food for Kids, like Ancaster Community Services, who are helping people in need. We're going to continue to find ways that we can partner with them and do some great things. And at the end of the day, I think this is going to make us a strong church, a strong ecclesia, a strong gathering of people, that whatever it looks like, whatever happens this year, because I have some guesses of what this year is going to look like. I think we have some reasons for hope of some changes this year that get better. But I don't know what's going to happen this year. But I do know this, that you need other people. Other people need you. And whatever happens this year, we're going to be better off doing it together. Heavenly Father, what a powerful voice for us to obey, for us to live by. It's your voice that tells us that we're your children and you love us, that you're pleased with us, your favor is upon us. I pray that right now, today, especially for those who are lonely, are tired, are anxious, are living in despair, that you would encourage them. But more than that, we would find ways in the power of your Spirit to encourage one another, to draw ourselves close to each other and in those relationships to draw closer and closer to you. We pray that whatever happens this year, that you would keep us together, that you would help us to stay encouraged in our lives of faith, to take care of ourselves, and come what may, to know that you are holding our lives and that you're bringing everything together for the good of those who love you. So we will start this year by proclaiming our love for you, because you've loved us so much, and our trust that you're going to bring us through whatever happens this year. And we'll do that with grateful hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen.